பக்தி சங்கா ஜபா கான்ஃபரன்ஸ் கால் ஆஃப் அவர் சைத்தன்ய சரிதாமிருதா அந்திய லீலா. அண்ட் டுடே வி ஆர் வெரி ஃபார்ச்சுனேட் டு ஹாவ் வித் அஸ் ஹர் கிரேஸ் ப்ரீத்தி விலாசினி மாதாஜி டு என்லைட்டன் ஆன் த டாபிக் ஆஃப் அந்திய லீலா ஃப்ரம் 18:44 ஆன்வர்ட்ஸ். ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா ப்ரீத்தி விலாசினி மாதாஜி, ப்ளீஸ் அக்செப்ட் மை ஹம்பிள் அபிசன்சஸ். ஆல் க்ளோரிஸ் டு ஷீலா பிரபுபாத் அண்ட் குரு மகாராஜ். தேங்க்யூ ஸோ மச் மாதாஜி ஃபார் ஜாயின் த செஷன் அண்ட் கிவிங் யுவர் வெரி வேல்யூபிள் அசோசியேஷன் அண்ட் லெட்னிங் ஆன் த டாபிக் அந்திய லீலா. ஐ ஹேண்ட் ஓவர் த கால் டு யூ. ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா.
ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா. Thank you so much, Shyama Supriya Mataji, and thanks to all the devotees for the beautiful chanting. We are reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and this is Antya Leela. We will be covering verses 44 through 70, and I will be reading the Bengali for a few and the English for a few, so that we can cover all the verses in a story format. So Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Leela, 18.44. Okay, let's do the prayers before we get started so that we can have a good flow. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Krupa Tamaham Vandi Shri Gurum Deenatarinam Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshaya Bhutaleya Shrimati Radhanath Swami Nitaname Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamne Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschayati Vishtarini Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. We are reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and this is Antya Leela, and we are covering chapter 18, verses 44 through 70. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Advaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Advaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. ஜய ஜய ஸ்ரீ சைதன்ய ஜய நித்யானந்த ஜய த்வைத சந்திர ஜய கௌர பக்த விருந்தா. 18.44. देखे न एक जालिया ऐसे खांडे झाला कारी हासे खांडे नाचे गाया बाले हरि हरि. Translation: Passing along the beach, they saw a fisherman approaching with his net over his shoulder. Laughing, crying, dancing and singing, he kept repeating the holy name of Hari Hari. 45. Jaliyara chishta deki sabar chamatkar swaruko sai tare poochin samachara. Translation: Seeing the activities of the fisherman, everyone was astonished. Swarup Damodar Goswami therefore asked him for information. Kaha jaliya ye deke dhekila ye ka jana tomar ye dasa kene kaha ta karana. Translation: My dear fisherman, he said, why are you behaving like this? Have you seen someone hereabouts? What is the cause of your behavior? Please tell us. Jaliya kahe itanika manushya na dhekila jala vahite ka mrita ka mora jalaila. Translation: The fisherman replied, I have not seen a single person here, but while casting my net in the water, I captured a dead body. 48. Bhada matsya bhaliyami uthaliyun yatane mrutaka dekhe mora bhaya haila mana. Translation: I lifted it with great care, thinking it to be a big fish, but as soon as I saw that it was a corpse, a great fear arose in my mind. 49. Jala kha saite tara ange sparsha haila sparsha matre se bhuta hrudaye pashila. As I tried to release the net, I touched the body, and as soon as I touched it, a ghost entered my heart. 50. Bhaye kampa hoila mora, netre vahe jala, gadgadava, niroma uthila sakala. I shivered in fear and shed tears. My voice faltered, and all the hairs on my body stood up. Hare Krishna. So first we'll cover verses 44 through 50. So the background of the story that we are seeing in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Anti Leela, in this particular section is that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was always immersed in thoughts of Krishna all day and night. And he would wander along Jagannath Puri thinking about Krishna with some of his personal associates like Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Rai. So like this, one night during the Sharad Purnima time, when it was autumn season and it was full moon night, he was wandering in Jagannath Puri, and as he saw the beautiful moonlit night, he was reminded of Sri Krishna and his pastimes. So he was reciting verses from the Rasa Leela, and oftentimes Swarup Damodar Goswami would accompany him and they would explain the meaning of the verses together. So like this, while he was wandering, suddenly he just drifted away from the company of Swarup Damodar Goswami, and he went to this place called as the Aitota. Aitota is a garden, and it is along the seashore. So while he was wandering in that garden, he just went away and he saw the beautiful ocean that is there in Jagannath Puri, and the ocean automatically reminded him of Yamuna. So thinking that the gopis and Sri Krishna are performing pastimes there, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu plunged into the ocean. And as he plunged into the ocean, the waves of the ocean, they carried him away, the waves took him onto the other side of the ocean, which was actually the Konark temple, the sun temple. So he got drifted away and he was there. Meanwhile, the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, headed by Swarup Damodar Goswami, all of them went around searching for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Those were the verses that we saw in our previous class. So Gaurang Darshan Prabhu was talking about the verses of how they were searching for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Everyone was really heartbroken because they just couldn't live without Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So therefore, they were going around searching for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they were in great fear because they didn't know exactly what happened to the Lord. So meanwhile, while they were walking, that is where today's verses start, while they were walking and trying to find Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at that time, Swarup Damodar Goswami, he came across a particular fisherman. And this fisherman, he had his net around his on his shoulder, and he was just chanting the names of Lord Sri Krishna. Hari, Hari. He was just chanting Hari, 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 Hari. And he appeared to be disturbed, actually, externally disturbed. So when Swarup Damodar Goswami saw this person who was a fisherman, and he was chanting Hari, Hari, immediately Swarup Damodar Goswami guessed that there is something strange about this person, and it could be that this person has actually seen Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he was constantly chanting the holy names of Sri Krishna. So seeing the activities of this fisherman, everybody was astonished, and Swarup Damodar Goswami made a good guess, and therefore he went up to the fisherman and he asked this fisherman, "My dear fisherman, why are you behaving like this? What happened to you? And by any chance, did you see anyone here around? And that's the reason why you're chanting like this?" So when this fisherman was asked like this about his behavior, he said, "My dear sir, I've not seen any person here. Okay, I've not seen anyone in particular. But then when I was casting my net and the net fell in water, the net actually captured a dead body. And while I was lifting it with great care, thinking that, wow, today I found a big fish. I was thinking there's a huge fish in the net because of the weight of the net. As I was pulling it, I saw that it was a huge corpse. And I was very, very afraid looking at it. It really disturbed my mind. And I tried to release the net somehow. And in the process of trying to release the net, I happened to touch that dead body. And the minute I touched that body, something happened to me. It appears that a ghost has entered my heart. because I started shivering, I was shedding tears, and my voice faltered, and all the hairs on my body were standing on end. So he had all these strange symptoms, and therefore he thought that this corpse was actually some sort of a ghost. And the ghost entered him, or rather captured him. And because the ghost captured him, he started exhibiting such weird symptoms, and he was continuously shivering, and he was shedding tears, and he was laughing, and he was chanting Hari Hari, and everything was pretty strange about him. So he said that maybe the ghost caught me from the dead body, and that's why I'm behaving like this. Actually, these are all symptoms of ecstasy. These are symptoms of ecstasy when one comes in contact with a great personality who's immersed in love of God. So whenever Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there in his manifest pastimes, just by seeing him or just by touching him, everyone would manifest such symptoms. They would start chanting the holy names of Krishna in great ecstasy. However, this fisherman, he could not understand what exactly was happening with him. And with his materialistic intelligence, though he was actually exhibiting love of God, with his material intelligence, he was bewildered. And he thought that maybe he couldn't comprehend exactly what happened. And he concluded that whatever he caught in the net was actually a corpse. And a ghost from there attacked him. And therefore, because of the influence of this graha, because of the influence of the ghost, he's behaving in such a weird manner. Actually, the person that he caught in the net was obviously Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay, so now we continue to see from verse 51. We'll again see from verses 51 to 55, and then we'll continue with the explanation. Kiba Brahma Daitya Kiba Bhuta Kaha Nena Yaya Darshan Matre Manushera Vaishese Kaya. Translation. I do not know whether the corpse I found was a ghost of a dead Brahmana or an ordinary man, but as soon as one looks upon it, the ghost enters the body. Okay, 52. Sharira dighala tara hata pancha sata ekeka hasta pada tara tina tina hata. Now he begins to describe how exactly that ghost was looking, or how exactly that corpse was looking. So he said the body of this ghost is very long, 5 to 7 cubits. Each of its arms and legs is as much as 3 cubits long. So basically Mahaprabhu's body had completely got stretched out. The skin beneath the bones was all stretched out. His bones were dislocated. And these are all symptoms of love of God. So when one exhibits intense symptoms and love of God, these bodily transformations can occur. And especially it has occurred in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as we all know, is Radha Bhav personified. So basically he's in the mood of Radharani. And therefore, he exhibited these extreme symptoms of Mahabhav, in which there are severe bodily transformations. So therefore, the skin beneath his bones were stretched, and his bones appeared dislocated, and he was very, very long, and it appeared like he was completely coiled up. So that is why this fisherman was so confused. He didn't understand anything. And moreover, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body had become very pale because of this particular symptoms that he was exhibiting. And the fisherman thought him to be a ghost. Now he continues to explain how the corpse was looking, or the ghost was looking according to his calculation. He said, Ashta asti sandhi chutile charma kare nada bade taha deki prana kare na hira he dhade. Its joints are all separated beneath the skin, which is completely slack. No one could see it and remain alive in his body. Madarupa dhari rahe uthana nayana kabu ghong ghong kare kabu rahe achetana. Translation, that ghost has taken the form of a corpse and he keeps his eyes open. Now here is the thing. So this fisherman was confused because he was thinking it's a corpse, but then the corpse was also keeping its eye open and uttering some sound. So obviously he was thinking that this was a ghost that had entered him from the corpse. Okay, so he understood that it was just not a corpse, meaning it was just not some sort of a dead body, because a dead body wouldn't produce a sound or wouldn't keep its eyes open and, you know, do these things. So he was thinking, oh, this is a corpse and a ghost has come there and that ghost has now taken over me. So this was the materialistic calculation that the fisherman made. So he said, that ghost has taken the form of a corpse, but he keeps his eyes open. Sometimes he utters the sounds gong gong, and sometimes he remains unconscious. Sakshat deke chelo mora paila se bhuta moi maile mora kaiche jive shri puta. I have seen that ghost directly and he's haunting me, but if I die, who will take care of my wife and children? So this was the worry of this fisherman. See, this fisherman was inflicted by love of God and he was worried. Now, if I die because this ghost has taken over me, then who's really going to take care of my family? What about me? What about my possessions? What about my identification? So this was the worry of that fisherman. So he was under the impression that he was haunted by a ghost, but actually he was struck by love of God. And even in this condition, he was thinking about his situation in the material world. Srila Prabhupada, he explains that this sort of a conditioning, to think that what will happen to me, what about my situation, these things are the actual conditioning of a ghost. That means if you're talking about these things and if you're constantly thinking about your materialistic situation, that is what is being haunted by a ghost. And then he quotes a Bengali poem. Pishachi paile yena mati chana haya maya grasta jiver haya se bhavodhaya. This is a Bengali poem and it says, anyone who is inflicted with this material energy, he is just like a man, ghostly haunted. All our material conception of life, this is also ghostly haunted. It's madness. I am Christian, I am Hindu, I am Muslim, I am Englishman, I am German. These are all conceptions of ghostly haunted person. A materialist is ghostly in the eyes of a devotee, and a devotee who is exhibiting symptoms of ecstasy is ghostly in the eyes of a materialist. So Prabhupada, he explains that, you know, most of us in this material world, as we are inflicted by the material energy, we keep talking nonsense. We have all the wrong designations. We think, I am this, I am that, I have this family, I have this home, I have this job, I am whatever, you know, I am so great. So all these are all material designations, and we are constantly haunted by these thoughts. Actually, we are the ones who are ghostly haunted. That's how the acharyas talk about us, because a great devotee, he sees that when he sees a materialistic person who's obsessed with so many things, he thinks, oh my God, this person is so ghostly haunted. And when a materialistic person sees a devotee who's always absorbed in love of God, this materialist, he thinks that this devotee must be ghostly haunted. He's so weird. He's so strange. So that's the calculation. We always think a devotee thinks the other person is ghostly haunted and the other person thinks a devotee is ghostly haunted. So that is the nature of this world. In fact, in Srimad Bhagavatam, there is actually a very beautiful verse. Again, this is with reference to Prahlad Maharaj, his pastimes. Prahlad Maharaj would often he would often get symptoms of ecstasy. We were seeing this in our previous session also in the previous week. And when he gets into these symptoms of ecstasy, he would appear very strange to the eyes of others. And there is a beautiful verse in Srimad Bhagavatam that describes his condition and talks about how he would appear like this. And I just wanted to share that verse. It's a very beautiful verse. And here we go. Yeah. This is Canto 7, Chapter 4, verse number 37. Nastya kridanako balo jadvar tan manasasyatam Krishna graha grihi tatma na veda jagadi drisham. Translation. From the very beginning of his childhood, Prahlad Maharaj was uninterested in childish playthings. Indeed, he gave them up altogether and remained silent and dull, being fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Since his mind was always affected by Krishna consciousness, he could not understand how the world goes on being fully absorbed in the activities of sense gratification. So here you see Prahlad Maharaj was a great devotee. He was a Mahabhagavat and he was absorbed in Krishna consciousness. The actual verse, if you look at the verse, it says Krishna Graha Grihitatma. Krishna Graha means actually a dark planet. Okay, so a dark planet, when it captures a person, the person starts behaving in a strange manner. So here the verse says that actually Prahlad Maharaj was captured by this dark planet. Okay, this is one way of looking at the verse. It says Prahlad Maharaj was captured by this dark planet and he was not even interested in playing as a kid. Rather, he was always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna and he appeared like as if he was haunted, as if he was affected by something. And if you look at the purport, Prabhupada very beautifully explains this whole scenario. And he says here, an exalted devotee or a Mahatma who is rarely to be seen remains fully conscious of Krishna and constantly sees the Lord within the core of his heart. It is sometimes said that when one is influenced by evil stars like Saturn, Rahu or Ketu, these are all dark planets. Okay, Rahu and Ketu are dark planets and Saturn is a very, very heavy dark planet. So when a person is influenced by evil stars like Saturn, Rahu or Ketu, he cannot make advancement in any prospective activity. What do we mean by prospective activity? Meaning in his mundane dealings and all his other activities of the day. He seems to be affected by something and he's not able to have a normal life, okay? Because he's afflicted by these planets. In just the opposite way, Prahlad Maharaj was influenced by Krishna Graha, a dark planet. But this is not any ordinary dark planet. It is Sri Krishna Graha, meaning he was influenced by Krishna, the supreme planet, the supreme personality of Godhead, had completely attracted him and captured him. Graha means something that actually influences you. Okay, that is the actual meaning of Graha. So this was Krishna Graha, the Supreme Lord who had taken over Prahlad Maharaj and he was influencing Prahlad Maharaj so intensely that others were thinking, oh, he's captured by a dark planet. But actually Prahlad Maharaj was captured by Krishna Graha, Sri Krishna Graha. And thus, he could not think of the material world and live without Krishna consciousness. So he was such a Mahabhagavat that he could not understand anything materialistic and he was absorbed in Krishna consciousness. While the others, when they saw him, they were thinking, what is this? What is he doing? He's so strange. He's absorbed in something. Why is he not absorbed in something materialistic? Why is he absorbed in Krishna consciousness? So this was the calculation of the people who were looking at Prahlad Maharaj. So like that, this particular fisherman, he was very confused and he was thinking that actually it's a corpse that has taken over him. And that's the reason why he was very disturbed. And he began describing the characteristics of the so-called ghost that he had actually seen. So we can continue reading the verses from 56. His concern was, what will happen to me? What will happen to my wife, my children? What will happen to my material designation? These were his worries at that point in time. So 56. Seita bhutera khata kahana yaya ojatani yai chonyadi se bhuta chadiya. Translation. The ghost is certainly very difficult to talk about. But I'm going to find an exorcist and ask him if he can release me from it. So this is what we do. So if we feel that we are ghostly haunted, immediately we want to see an exorcist and make sure that the ghost is taken away and we are normal. And then he tells Swarupda Madhur Goswami that that is what I'm going to do next, because I'm going to go find an exorcist and make sure this ghost releases me. Eka ratre bhuli matsya mariya nirjane bhuta preta amarna lage narsamha smarane. I wander alone at night, killing fish in solitary places. But because I remember the hymn to Lord Narasimha, ghosts do not touch me. Now he begins to explain that actually he is a fisherman and he's going around catching fish late in the night and under all sorts of circumstances. But he knows, yes, ghosts exist, but then he knows for sure that these ghosts don't catch him generally because he's always chanting the Narsimha mantra, which is very, very powerful. So when a person chants the Narsimha Dev mantra, he's always protected. We chant the Narsimha Kavacham for protection. So he says, I'm constantly chanting the Narsimha mantra. He had the right perspectives in place. So he knew that if he was chanting the Narsimha mantra, nothing can affect him. But he was very surprised how today some ghost has actually captured him in spite of chanting the Narsimha mantra. This ghost, however, overcomes me with redoubled strength when I chant the Narsimha mantra. When I even see the form of this ghost, great fear arises in my mind. So he says, as I chant the Narsimha mantra, this ghost comes and he catches me double with double strength. Obviously, this is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And if they are chanting the Narsimha mantra, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu acts even strongly on this person. And then finally, he told Swarup Damodar Goswami, do not go there. I forbid you. If you go there, that ghost will catch all of you. So this was the conversation that the fisherman had with Swarup Damodar Goswami. So this is still verse number 59, and we'll see what exactly these verses are about. So he told Swarup Damodar Goswami about the characteristics of the ghost, how the ghost was looking and how his body was elongated and how he was actually never affected by ghosts in general. Because he would go late in the night catching fish and nothing had harmed him because he was constantly chanting the Narsimha mantra. So Lord Narsimhadev gives protection to everyone. Everyone knows that. And this has been a practice under the order of Srila Prabhupada to always invoke Lord Narsimhadev to award protection, especially protection in the practice of bhakti. Like, for example, in Mayapur, we all know that the temple was attacked several times. And then Srila Prabhupada encouraged everyone to sing the Narasimha prayers before actually finishing off the day. So it's a practice in all the temples to sing Narasimha Pranam before actually finishing the celebrations in the temple. And then the deities are put to rest. Narsimhadev's presence and Narsimhadev's touch actually awards protection to everyone. And this is also seen in the Srimad Bhagavatam, where in the same pastime of Prahlad Maharaj, there is another verse that talks about how Lord Narsimhadev's presence awards all protection and removes all fear. We all think Lord Narsimhadev is a very fearful incarnation, meaning he appears very fearful, but he is very fearful only to the demons. And when it comes to the devotees who are very surrendered to him, he automatically awards all protection. And it is pretty much seen in this particular verse when Narsimhadev just appeared in front of Prahlad Maharaj. He gave his darshan and Prahlad Maharaj went forward to pacify Lord Narsimhadev. At that time, we have this verse that says, when Narsimhadev saw the small boy Prahlad Maharaj prostrated at the soles of his lotus feet, he became most ecstatic in affection towards his devotee. Raising Prahlad, Lord placed his lotus hand upon the boy's head. His hand is always ready to create fearlessness in all of his devotees. So here is the key sentence. It says, his hand is always ready to create fearlessness in all his devotees. And in this world, Prabhupada writes that we have all these necessities, the four necessities, ahara, nidra, bhaya, and maithuna, eating, sleeping, defending, and mating. And everyone doing these four activities, we are constantly in a fearful consciousness. Sada samudvigna diyam. That means there is always a fear. Like for example, birds and animals, they are always in a fear that someone will take away the food. Okay, we are always worried about ahara. And for us, we are constantly worried in this world about protecting everything that we have. Ahara, nidra, bhaya, maitana, everything. The root cause of all the business. And the only way for us to get away from this fearful consciousness is to be engaged in Krishna consciousness. That is the only solution. So one of the qualities most important qualities of a devotee is to be fearless. Why is he fearless? He is fearless because he has taken shelter of Krishna. Because he has taken shelter of Krishna, Krishna automatically awards him fearlessness. Abhyam sarvada tasmai dadami etat pratam mama. This is the Ramacharma shlokam. Lord Ramachandra, towards the end of the Ramayana, he gives this very, very important instruction to his devotees. Anyone who surrendered to me, I give them all protection. So therefore, the best way to get out of this entanglement, the best way to get out of this fearful consciousness is to engage our consciousness in Krishna, and Krishna consciousness automatically awards fearlessness. Now here in this particular instance, when Lord Narsingadev appeared, as soon as he appeared, yes, the demons became fearful. But the devotees in the presence of Lord Narsimhadev, they automatically became fearless. And when Lord Narsingadev touched the head of Prahlad Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj was blessed with complete fearlessness. His hand, Lord Narsingadev's hand, is always ready to create fearlessness in all the devotees. The devotee's hope of becoming fearless is to chant the holy name of Narsingadev. Here you get the instruction from Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada says, if you really want to become fearless, take shelter of Krishna and always chant the Narsimha mantra. Yato yato yami tato Narsimha. Wherever we go, we must always think of Lord Narsimha, and then there will be no fear for the devotee of the Lord. So this is the best way to attain fearlessness. So therefore, this fisherman, he knew the right method. Yes, he was chanting the holy names of the Lord, and obviously, no ghost attacked him. Actually, there was no ghost attacking him. He was in the right understanding. Still, when he actually was exhibiting symptoms of ecstasy, he got completely confused. He didn't understand what it was, because it was the supreme graha, Krishna, who had actually captured him, and he didn't understand it. So we continue with the verses. Very beautiful, beautiful explanations, verses by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Very poetic and very beautiful. So here we go. Etashoni swarupa gosani sabha tatva jani jali yare kichukaya samuduravani. Hearing this, Swarup Damodar could understand the full truth of the matter. He spoke sweetly to the fisherman. So here we have Swarup Damodar, a perfect psychologist. See, when we deal with devotees, sometimes we also get carried away by the emotions that the devotee has. But here we have Swarup Damodar with the perfect presence of mind. He knew how to deal with people. And when he saw that this fisherman was so disturbed, and he didn't even understand what happened to him, and with his materialistic intelligence, he was trying to come to different conclusions. Swarup Damodar thought the first thing that he must be doing is to remove that apparent fear that this fisherman had. So 1861. Ami bada oja jani bhuta chadi yaite mantra padi sri hastadi lata har matate. Translation, he said, I am a famous exorcist, he said, and I know how to rid you of this ghost. He then chanted some mantras and placed his hand on top of the fisherman's head. So this was the best solution that one could do. Just, you know, this was only an artificially created fear in the mind. So Swarup Damodar Goswami was thinking, okay, he wants an exorcist. Let me solve the problem right here. He told him, I'm a great exorcist. I'm very, very famous. I can get you out of this fear. He placed his hand and he said, okay, now the ghost has gone. He chanted some mantras, placed his hand on the fisherman and assured him that the ghost has gone. He slapped the fisherman 3 times and said, no, the ghost has gone away. So don't be afraid. By saying this, he pacified the fisherman. So most of the times, this is what a devotee needs when they are in fear or when they are in trouble. They just need someone to listen to them and then pacify them. They don't need any advice. They don't need any solutions. And Swarup Damodar Goswami knew this. He knew this, that, you know, all that he needed to do was actually just to pacify this person who was very agitated. The fisherman was affected by ecstatic love, but he was also fearful. Look at this combination. He was affected by ecstatic love because he touched Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body that was in ecstasy. So he was affected by ecstatic love, but he was also fearful. So he had become doubly agitated. Now that this fear had subsided, by the touch of Swarup Damodar Goswami and the pacifying words of Swarup Damodar Goswami, he had now become somewhat normal. So finally, he attained some normalcy. Swarup Damodar then told the fisherman, "My dear sir, the person you are thinking is a ghost is actually not a ghost, but he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." Now Swarup Damodar Goswami began to tell something that made sense to the fisherman. So first he wanted the fisherman to feel a little normal. And once the fisherman was normal, he explained to the fisherman, "Listen, my dear friend, this is not a ghost. It is actually Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." And when the fisherman heard that particular so-called corpse that he had seen was actually Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he got even more confused. And Swarup Damodar Goswami explained to him, "Because of ecstatic love, the Lord fell into the sea and you have caught him in your net, and actually you've done a good thing. You've actually rescued him. Simply by touching him has awakened your dormant love of Krishna. But because you thought him to be a ghost, you were very much afraid of him. Now that your fear has gone and your mind is peaceful, please show me where he is." So he explained the situation, saying that it's not a corpse, not a ghost. All that you have done is you have touched Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And because you have touched Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you began exhibiting symptoms of ecstasy. You are not haunted by a ghost. Rather, you are just exhibiting symptoms of ecstasy. And that is indeed Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when the fisherman was told all this, the fisherman got confused and he asked Swarup Damodar Goswami, "But my dear Swarup Damodar Goswami, I have seen Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu many times in Jagannath Puri." So he says, "I have seen the Lord many times, but this is surely not him. His body is very much deformed." So this is how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. He didn't appear exactly like how he would appear in a normal state in that fisherman's net. Because his body was so thoroughly deformed, he appeared very, very different. So therefore, this fisherman said, "I have seen him, but this is not him. His body is very much deformed." Swarup Damodar Goswami at that time, he said, "The Lord's body becomes transformed in his love for God. Sometimes the joints of his bones separate and his body becomes very much elongated." So he explains that it is only because he is exhibiting the symptoms of love of God. Hearing this convincing answer from Swarup Damodar Goswami, the fisherman, he became very, very happy. And then he wanted to help all the devotees to find Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, he called all the devotees and he told them, "I will now take you to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." So this is where we are going to stop in terms of reading the verses. So I'll stop the screen share. And I just wanted to share a few pastimes about this particular condition of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and how when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is manifesting.
Hare Krishna, there's no sound. I mean,
Preeti Vilasini Mataji, we cannot hear you. Are you there?
Mataji, maybe it should come back in couple of minutes. Sometimes snap inside her internet.
Hello?
Mataji, maybe sometimes her internet. She's back.
Okay.
Yeah, I always have internet issues here. So I don't have. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in love of God influences people around him and how they all become like the fisherman who was acting in this way. So in the famous hair cutting ceremony of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was taking sannyas, there were a lot of people who were affected. And there was a devotee by the name Gangopadhyaya. And this Gangopadhyaya was the father of Shrivas Pandit. He was the father of Shrivas Pandit. And once when he was traveling through Katwa, he saw a huge crowd gathered. Actually, it was the day that Mahaprabhu was supposed to take sannyas from Keshav Bharati. So while he was traveling through that place and he saw so many people, he was very curious to see what was happening. And he saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing. He was in kirtan and he was dancing in ecstasy. So after he finished the kirtan, he called on to a barber and he told the barber, now it is time for you to shave off my head and I have to accept the sannyas mantra and the sannyas cloth from Keshav Bharati Goswami. So at that time, the barber came forward and he got a big blade to shave off Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's beautiful locks of hair. At that time, the people who were gathered there, they all began crying. They all began crying and they were so upset that the beautiful hair of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was now to be taken off. So they all started screaming and they were crying and they just didn't want this barber to shave off the hairs of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the barber actually got scared and he said, I'm not going to shave off your hair. Look at the people who are crying and screaming. I don't want to do such a grave offense as to shave off your beautiful locks of hair. At that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, what are you talking? I must now take sannyas. And before I take sannyas, I need my hair to be shaven off. And if you don't do your duty, that is a greater offense. So you better, you know, do your duty and shave off my head. So at that time, the barber very hesitantly with his hands shivering and with his eyes fully filled with tears, he was very, very emotional. He didn't want to do it, but he was forced to do it. So he was very, very emotional and with great care and his eyes filled with tears, he shaved off the hair from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's head. And the minute he touched Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at that time, he suddenly got these symptoms of ecstasy. So his body started shivering and his voice was faltering and his eyes was filled with tears and he continuously chanted Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And he kept chanting and kept chanting and kept chanting. He couldn't stop, so much so that the hair that he had shaven off, all the hair, he just fell on the hair and he fainted in ecstasy just by touching the head of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this was the effect on the barber. And it is said that the barber, after this one service of shaving off the hair of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he never took any other assignments. All his life, he was just chanting Hare Krishna, that's all. He was just chanting and chanting and he never took another engagement of hair cutting. This was the last hair he ever cut. And not only that, this person, Gangopadhyaya, who was watching the ceremony, the sannyas ceremony, he was sitting in the first row. He was Srivas Pandit's father. So he was sitting in the first row and he was observing the ceremony of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's hair cutting. At that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gave the mantra to Keshav Bharati and he received the mantra from Keshav Bharati. And then he accepted the sannyas cloth, right? He accepted the sannyas cloth. And then Keshav Bharati pronounced the name Sri Krishna Chaitanya. When he pronounced the name Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Gangopadhyaya, who heard this and saw the ceremony and who came in contact with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, from that second, he went on chanting, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, and his tongue wouldn't stop. He went on chanting and chanting and chanting, and from that day, because he kept chanting like that, he came to be known as Chaitanya Das. So this Gangopadhyaya, who was the father of Srivas Pandit, became celebrated as Chaitanya Das because he was struck with love of God as he came in contact with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Like this, throughout Chaitanya Bhagavat, throughout Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhakti Ratnakar, you find so many instances of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu affecting people and how just by his presence and his touch, people develop love of God, just like this fisherman who got love of God. When Lord Chaitanya, he met Ramananda Rai in the banks of the river Godavari, if I'm not wrong. When he met Ramananda Rai for the first time, Ramananda Rai was accompanied by thousands and thousands of associates. And he was also accompanied by Brahmanas. When they all caught a glimpse of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at that time, all these thousands of men, all of them, they cried the holy names of Krishna. They continuously started chanting Krishna's names. So they were chanting Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And at that time, Ramananda Rai, seeing how his presence had affected so many people, he immediately declared, you are non-different. They would have very, very beautiful kirtans in this Narsimha temple that is near Gundicha Mandir from time to time. And all of them were chanting and singing the holy names of the Lord. And they were in ecstasy because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was directly present in front of them. At that time, Advaita Acharya's son, Gopal, was also chanting and dancing in ecstasy. But he was a very young boy and he also had several ecstatic symptoms and he fainted and lost consciousness. He lost consciousness and he was fallen down. So at that time, everyone got scared and it was the Narsimha Mandir. And obviously, everyone started chanting the Narsimha prayers because that is the first thing everyone does for protection. They were all chanting the Narsimha prayers, but then the boy wouldn't come back to consciousness. And that is when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu touched his heart, touched Gopal's heart and asked him to chant Krishna. And immediately Gopal sprung up and he woke up and he started chanting Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So like there's so many places you can find. Even when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in his South India tour, he influenced thousands of people to chant Hare Krishna. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that whomever he came in contact with, they all started chanting Hare Krishna. By the potency, just by the presence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, thousands of people in South India were transformed. You also read the story in the Madhya Leela. You would have read the story of this Ramadas Vipra, who was accustomed only to chanting the holy names of Lord Rama. He was also influenced to chant the Hare Krishna Ma Mantra. And then when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going to the Jharkhand forest, people, human beings, even animals began to chant Hare Krishna. They were chanting Krishna, Hari, Hari. And love of God awakened in the animals so much so that the tigers and the deers were actually becoming best of friends and they were clinging on to each other and kissing each other. So this is the effect of love of God. And it is possible when in the presence of the Lord, in presence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by the touch of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by the touch of the Lord, it is definitely possible. Now, the question may be asked, how about us, right? Because obviously we don't have the direct darshan of the Lord. The Lord is not incarnated in front of us. So is it possible at all? Yes, definitely. Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so compassionate that he has given us the holy names. If one can chant attentively and relish the holy names, eventually love of God actually gets established in one's heart. So the holy names are not something though it is so freely available, it is available to everyone, we take it for granted, but then it has tremendous potency. Two things, the holy names and also the holy names are of course non-different from the Lord. And the second thing is we should remember that we are also constantly touching the body of the Lord. We are coming in touch with the body of the Lord. Many of us, we have the opportunity to do deity worship. Even if people like me don't have the opportunity to do deity worship in the temple, we also have opportunities to do the same in our homes. So when we have the right consciousness that this deity is non-different from the Lord, and when we have the opportunity to touch the Lord slowly, it is not a magical process like what happened to the fisherman that immediately he started exhibiting symptoms of love of God. Eventually, there is a lot of purification that happens. There's a Yeah, definitely the same process is.
Hare Krishna Mataji, we had lost your voice. So.
Yeah, yes, Mataji, any questions or comments, please go ahead, Mataji.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Sanmat Pranam. Wonderful, Mataji. I like when you were explaining this, you know, there couldn't be, I just one thought came, there couldn't be anybody, maybe I'm partial over here, but there couldn't be anyone explaining this more better than you. The fisherman's story and, you know, how the Lord is more compassionate. I don't know, like at so many times, I just felt like when you explained, right, that the devotees try to, how Swarup Damodar Goswami tried to ease the person, ease the fisherman first. And then he tried to tell him the reality. It's like I, with devotees, I think it always happens, right? They try to first take you out of the miserable conditions, or they try to take you out of the trouble. And though they have to tell you the truth, but then that is what I've seen with devotees. And like we should be so grateful to Srila Prabhupada for inculcating this in all of us. I know I'm not there yet, but then I see that in you, Mataji. I just wanted to always tell you that. Thank you, Mataji, for taking this wonderful session and explaining so nicely, because this topic is, I think it is so much deep to understand, and the way you explained it is really, really wonderful, Mataji. Really grateful to you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I guess again she dropped
off. Hare Krishna. She dropped off?
Yeah, looks like that. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm back, okay. Okay, you are back. You want to say
totally
something to
Sita Priti? I was telling, I don't know if it came through, but I just wanted to tell Sita Priti Mahataji that thank you so much. And definitely she's very partial. I don't deserve that. But thank you so much to her, and thanks for the realizations as well. I don't know if it came through or if it was breaking. Yeah. Thank you, Mahataji.
We heard Hare it Krishna. Now, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Priti Vilasni Mataji. Yeah. Definitely, I'll second, you know, what Sita Priti Mataji said. Even if you say that everybody is partial, then so be it. You know, yeah, whatever she said is right. The last 5 minutes class, I was not able to hear because, I don't know, there were some issues at your end, some issues then came at my end.
Same here,
right? So
Mataji, would you like to repeat last 5 minutes class?
Oh, I was just telling, I was comparing that at that time Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was present on the planet, and his presence was available, his touch was available, so people were able to understand what love of Godhead is by his presence and his personal touch. But then at this point in time, one may think that he's not there, and you know, will we ever get a glimpse of this? So definitely it is possible by chanting the holy names, because the holy names is non-different from Krishna's presence. And when one chants the holy name with some sincerity and some attention, we can definitely relish a little bit. We are not going to manifest, you know, these symptoms of ecstasy tomorrow, but then we can relish through the holy names. We can understand a little bit of Krishna's mercy. And not only that, we also have this opportunity of touching and worshipping the deity forms, which is non-different from the actual form of the Lord, because Achya Vigraha is an accessible form of the Lord. So just by touching the Lord, the Lord's Archa Vigraha, tremendous purification happens, and eventually we can advance in Krishna consciousness. So though Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not present at this time, the process is there. The process is given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and our Guru Vargas, our Acharyas. They are so compassionate. This process of bhakti is so variegated, and it is so joyfully performed. And you have so many things to do in bhakti. And each one of these processes are extremely potent. They are as good as the Lord being present in front of us. So definitely we have ample opportunities. And those doing deity worship in the temples, they must know when they touch the Archa Vigraha, how it feels. Mm. It is not an ordinary experience. And we should never underestimate either the...
We lost you again, Mataji.
Yeah, I think so.
She can off the video, Mataji.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. She can off the video if the bandwidth is unnecessary. Maybe you can text her, Vinita Mataji, that, you know, she can disconnect, call back again, and this time she can go without video.
Yeah, sure.
Let me actually join in from my phone. Maybe it's just the computer. So.
Recording in progress.
Yeah, muted.
Yeah. I think this should be good. This is better.
Much better. Now we can see full face. Yeah. So thanks. Okay. I was also thinking on the same point that you were telling, that like how fisherman, you know, he got ecstatic symptom, the barber, he got the ecstatic symptom, because they were touching not an ordinary person, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And I was thinking in the same line that how they would, those who were present in that Leela, of course they were fortunate, you know, we missed seeing Mahaprabhu maybe for 500 years, and we missed even seeing Prabhupada.
Yeah.
So, but as you said, that holy name is important. Definitely, it will, one day the change will not happen, transformation will not happen. But that point I'll second, that when we touch the deities, you know, it's not an ordinary experience. It's not an ordinary experience. We get that feel. But again, it depends upon like how much condition we are, because those, even if they have the touch of deities, they don't feel something. You know, I have come across a lot of people, they don't feel, even while standing in front of the deities, they don't feel their presence. So it depends upon how much condition we are, and how much purification we need. And also, like, we should have, like as you said, we should have the trust in the process. Like in Hindi, you know, there is one, like it's a saying in Hindi that mano to ganga nahi to behta pani. Like people may think that it's just a flowing water, or somebody knows that, you know, this is Ganga, this is not just an ordinary flowing water. So, you know, we should have the trust in the process, as you said. It will work, not in one day, not in one lifetime, but it will work. We should have that faith. So thank you so much. Thank you so much for delivering this beautiful message through this beautiful pastime and sharing about the importance of how we should worship Narsingha Dev and in what mood we should worship. So thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna Mataji, thank you so much for the wonderful, wonderful class, and especially the last 5 minutes that you repeated. So that makes so much more special. And it's like, you know, re-insisting the so important point. So Mataji, it's a question for, as you know, when Mahaprabhu was there, there must be some people who would have taken him for granted, you know, saying, like, even if Lord was walking around, I have heard long time back, I think His Grace Radharaman Prabhu said that we need to read the scripture so that we know who is Krishna. Otherwise, we won't even know, even if he is standing in front of us. Yes. So, yeah, so that time, many people would have taken him for granted in person form. But now also, like, I have Gaurnita deities, and by Kalachanji's mercy, I get to serve him directly now many a times. And, you know, I'm so scared today because I am newly second initiated. I'm getting so many opportunities. After 5 years, I may not have the same enthusiasm. I'm always praying to my deities. And even at home, I feel I take them for granted so many times. I may not be behaving the way I should be if you'd have been sitting in person. So Mataji, would you say something, you know, that will make me more alert? So whether in the temple or at home, I am more conscious of their presence, that they are non-different than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Yeah, this happens with all of us, and especially at home, we do take deities for granted. But what would help is, I think, which everyone is doing already, what would help is to have a regime or a timetable where you have, you know, you understand that, okay, you offer bhoga 3 times a day to the deities. Okay, you do abhishek once or whatever, you know, whatever your regime is. If you have that fixed, you will definitely do your services at that time. You will definitely make the offering or do the services at that time. And when we're doing those services, we also remember that they are persons, just like our family members. They are people. And that has to be that awareness, Mataji, we have to constantly tell ourselves. So we have to constantly remind ourselves that just like how my kid is hungry, my deity is also hungry. My deity also requires this. So if we consider them as a family member, which we are doing in one sense, but then it has to be done with more awareness. How to get that more awareness? One way of getting more awareness is to have, just like how we have a timetable for ourselves or for the members of our family, we can have a timetable for the deities, how we are going to serve the deities, what we are going to do for the deities. If maybe from time to time you have something special that you're offering to the deities. So have a, you know, put it in a month, what you want. And it becomes a lifestyle eventually. Did that help a bit, Mataji?
Yes, Mataji, a lot. So you said if we have a schedule for them as well, like we do for ourselves, right? Last 2 minutes got a little stuck with the video, so I'm just repeating to make sure that I understood. So that, thank you so much, Mataji. Please bless me, Mataji. I need all of your blessings so that I don't commit offense.
Millions of offenses every day. Not doing a good job, but I'm just trying to, you know, tell myself what I could do.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna. I just wanted to add something to what you just said. Because I also feel that I'm in that kind of state. Sometimes I'm, you know, it's very hard to maintain our fledgling love for Krishna. It's very difficult. And one thing that I from what Guru Maharaj says is, you know, it's Krishna's desire, right? It's Krishna's wish that Krishna can make anything happen. So we need to put in our effort. We need to do, like you said, everything that we do as we treat our child, you know, schedule and stuff. But we also have to, you know, beg Krishna that, you know, even though I don't deserve it, can you please give me that taste? That's what it is. That's what I feel. It's that that taste wavers, you know, because when we have the taste, we're very enthusiastic. But then sometimes the taste, we lose the taste, or the taste diminishes a little bit. And as Kita Dasundari Mother said, it's because of our conditioning, you know, lifetimes of conditioning that causes that. So, you know, I think for me, a lot of times it's like, Krishna, you know, I can't do it by myself, and I'm not pure enough to do it by myself. So, you know, please, I want it. I really do want it, even though I don't act like I do. I really do want this relationship. I do really want your love. So, you know, keep, you know, whatever it needs to be done, please give me that taste. So that's something that I kind of meditate upon a little bit, you know, not to say, and same thing, but I don't want to also use that as a crutch and say, oh, I don't have taste. I'm doing everything. I mean, we really have to put in our effort, and we really have to beg for that mercy. So just another thought that came to my mind.
Thank you, Mataji.
Parima Mataji, you want to say something?
Mataji, after all this discussion, you know, I just thought of a pastime that I had read long back about this very situation that all of us face. So this is a recent incident, not many years ago, in one of the temples of Vrindavan. And I happened to read that in the newspaper, actually, somewhere in an article or so, that there was this one pujari in one of the temples of Vrindavan. Like, there are many servitors, and they keep serving the deities, prasadam, bhoga, every time, like very, very meticulously, very, very nicely. And somehow on that day, after many years of service, that one thought came to his mind that, you know, what's the use of offering all this bhoga? I've been doing this all my life, and there's nothing that, you know, I have, all that we feel, you know, the same things we feel. So he was just worried, he just mechanically offered the bhoga. And then they shut the doors. And then when he opened the door to see the bhoga, he took the plate, and then he saw the Lord's face. And a piece of khichdi was stuck to his face. And that is how the Lord gave him the answer that, you know what, your efforts are not going waste. So maybe all of us here, we let us pray that we also get that little reciprocation that can keep us encouraged, you know, on this. Yes, so this is what I wanted to share.
Thank you, Mataji, for sharing that. That is also important, actually. Yes, from time to time, when we have doubts, a little reciprocation puts us back in track. Yes, definitely. Yes,
so that's what I just gave. That came to my mind, so I thought, let me share it, Mataji.
Thank you so much for your wonderful class.
The class is always nectarian, always. Thank you so much, Mataji. Dandavat pranam. Hare Krishna.
Thank you for your blessings, Mataji.
Thank you so much, Priti Vilasini Mataji, again for this wonderful class. As Anuradha Mataji has the same question, I too also have the same question as Mataji, but it was clarified with your answers and Praneshwari Lakshmi Mataji's answers and Kirtida Sundari Mataji's answers also. It really gave much light how to deal with deities and how our mood should be also, Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji, again for this wonderful class.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, dear devotees. Are there any questions for Mataji?
Hare Krishna, Mataji. I just wanted to say thank you to Mataji. Thank you, Mataji, for beautiful class. Hare Krishna, very beautiful question session.
Thank you, Vanita Gandharvika Mataji. I should also thank you for sending me all these pastime screenshots, which really helped me a lot today while preparing. Thank you so much.
So I think, Mataji, we can end the call. Right, Mataji? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much, Mataji, once again. Vancha kalpatarubhyasya krupa sindhubhyaye vacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Anantakoti vaishnavrindaki jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Hare Krishna, Preeti Vilasini Mataji ki
jai.
Jai.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Preeti Vilasini Mataji. Very, very nice.
Hare bol. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Dharma Pranam.
Hare Krishna, closing the call, dear devotees. We'll meet again tomorrow. Hare bol.